Welcome to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner,
what you got cooking?
Ding, 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 ding. School is back in session.
Oh, shit.
Yep, summertime school bonanza is here. Okay, just go with me.
Okay, I'm going. Well,
let's try it again. School is in session.
All right.
I don't mean Jeff Sessions.
Gross.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, he's the worst.
So, you know what? I'm going to do an entire Quizlet. Hope you studied. Hope you know your Woo! Shit.
I am sweating in my crotch and in my armpits.
Yep. It is a summertime Quizlet summer school spectacular.
That's a lot of S's, and I guess I need to get my shit together.
Yep.
Summer, for this.
Yeah, another S. We are on the S roll.
I gotta make up my credits at summer school.
Yeah, that's why you
the summer school Quizlet.
Yeah, a summer school Quizlet in case some of you are shy on credits, and we're gonna get you through. Don't worry, don't worry. I'm here for you. We're gonna get you through it.
Okay.
So what are you doing?
Medicare.
So after you take your summer school on the other side,
when you're old and you need some money, basically, what's gonna happen when they get rid of healthcare?
I was gonna say, and when we're old, Medicare won't exist.
Exactly.
So I better have hella rich kids.
Yes.
I got a Dina Lohan someone or something so they can take care of me.
You gotta figure it out because I'm about to break down what good Medicare does,
okay.
And also, what is going to happen when they take it away?
Well, okay. You're going to that so raven this.
Yes, I am.
She's looking into the future and she can see it.
With some facts.
That's so raven with facts and a summer school spectacular, sexy, satisfactory
session. But not just Jeff Sessions.
Because fuck that guy.
He's the worst.
Yep. All right. Well, let's get into it, lady friend.
All right. Let's go. Ooh.
This isn't part of my summer Quizlet, but okay. You know, summertime be crazy.
It is.
So, did we ever, circling back to last week's episode.
Yes.
You can remember. She's like, what are we talking
about? I don't know.
But it was 4th of July.
Yes.
And we were trying to figure out the words to da 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 da.
Is it thank God for the red, white, and blue?
Let's try it. Thank God for, I don't like singing this.
I know. It ruins it.
I couldn't even get through the lyrics.
I don't know what the name of that song is.
I think it's called Stars and Stripes Forever.
Is it?
The Stars and the Stripes are forever.
Let's see.
Thank God for the Stars and the Stripes.
Okay, you ready for the lyrics?
Stars and the Stripes and forever.
I don't know if that's it.
It's a little car.
I don't think it has lyrics. Here we go.
Well, we should make our own lyrics. Let's have a contest.
Okay.
Minority Corner kids create the best lyrics to Stars and Stripes Forever.
Are you ready for these real lyrics?
Oh, fuck, no.
Let Marshall know in triumph float, and liberty extend its mighty hand. A flag appears mid thunderous cheer.
Oh.
I don't know if I'm doing this right.
Okay. Well, no matter what, when I was listening to you sing those lyrics, I wanted to throw up.
Oh, here it is.
Okay.
That was just I wasn't singing the hook. Here's the hook.
Oh, what? Give me the hook. Give me the hook.
Hooray for the flag of the free. May it wave as our standard forever.
Oh.
The gem of the land and the sea. The banner of the right. Let us but remember the date. I don't know.
Okay.
This is not.
It loses. Well, you know what? I got a note for someone. Whoever wrote this song.
John Philip Sousa.
Okay, I hope you're listening. Is he dead?
Yes.
Okay, well rolling over your grave today.
He might actually be listening.
That's weird. Now I'm looking up. Listen, your song sucks. These lyrics are terrible. Make me want to throw up my mouth a little bit.
You know what? He's good at a beat, not good at a lyric.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So
at least it was written in 1897, so black people were free.
That's good. And it wasn't like, I wish we still had slaves.
He's like, fuck the Negro.
Yeah. And he wouldn't say Negro because he would not be that polite.
No.
Well, you know what? I hope they're still talking about us when we are, you know.
Yeah, he says a lot of great things. He's like, but the flag of the North and the South and the West.
Okay, he was trying to bring us, he was trying to bring us together. He did what Katy Perry couldn't do. Yeah?
I like how that turned into a shot of Katy Perry.
Any, give me any opportunity and I'll bring it in. I don't like that hoe. Okay. So speaking. Oh, speaking.
Okay,
about
back to Fourth of July.
Speaking of something I did not get to talk about last week.
It's still July, so yes.
Okay, good. So it's still relevant.
Yes.
It's still culturally relevant. Sure. They're not like, why are you still talking about that?
If this was October,
then you'd be
we're
like,
we're still more likely to talk.
We would
about
still be like,
it.
Oh, yeah. You know,
remember
what,
back then?
I forgot to tell you about this story. So I played a little game called Hollywood Dominoes.
What the fuck is this?
It is the new gold standard for dominoes. What? Move over, dominoes. Hollywood Dominoes is in town.
You made me feel like my black card got revoked actually a little bit recently. Because you were like, have you ever played spades? And I was like, no.
I felt, you know what? Okay. Because I was watching Queen Sugar and they had this scene where the whole family is getting down on some spades. And it's just like a reunion of it. And it's so interesting. I was so touched by this scene because like that is straight up my family. There's always aunties and uncles and someone playing spades and you have like your partner and your duo.
Okay.
And I just was like, oh my God, this show is so connected to it. But I'm wondering, maybe it's a Southern thing.
Probably.
Because here's the thing about Queen Sugar. I feel so incredibly connected to that show because my family's, my dad's side is from Louisiana.
So you got Southern roots.
I have such Southern roots. But I also feel you on the East Coast thing because my mom's side of the family is from Boston.
Oh.
So I feel it on both ends.
So does your mom family play spades?
No.
Okay, good. That makes me feel better. That makes me feel so much. If you're like, yes, I would be like, I don't know what's wrong with my family.
I don't think they do, but does your family play dominoes?
No.
Oh, so you might
be. Maybe. I didn't really grow up with my family.
Okay, yeah.
I came out here with my parents, and that's it. Mm. And then I would go back east. But I went to several family affairs, and you know what I'm thinking about it?
Yeah.
No games were played.
Well, we just looked at each other?
Yeah.
Just talk.
Drank and ate. Mm. Dance, put some music on, dancing.
How was that for you?
I liked it. Thanks, therapy session.
Did you notice I slipped right into it?
You did. Even with it. Listeners, James put his hand on his chin. Full introspection.
I love a good you know, I'm a healer at heart. I like to get in there and heal people. That's what I do. So maybe I am a little Kris Jenner sometimes.
I thought you didn't know that bitch.
I don't. But I know that she had a talk show at one point.
That was not good. So you're good at it. She clearly was not good at it.
Take that, Kris Jenner. I can't stand her. Put her on a boat. Get her out of here. But you know what? The Kris Jenner I like.
Yes.
Selma Blair. I love.
Oh, she did a good Kris Jenner in, what was it? OJ trials.
OJ versus OJ or whatever.
I
love Kris Jenner.
Yeah.
The only Kris
Jenner.
American Crime. Story. Only Kris Jenner in my heart is Selma Blair as Kris Jenner.
I'm into
the other
it.
One, go fuck herself.
Ooh, you heard it here, folks. Okay, what is Hollywood Dominoes?
Hollywood Dominoes. I got to play with my aunts, and they're like, do you want to come play Hollywood Dominoes with us? And I was like, thinking in my head, nope. But I was like, you know what?
James.
Let me get the auntie time in.
Yeah.
And also because I'm super competitive, and I don't like losing. And I'm not good at regular.
Even to your aunties?
My family is competitive.
You need to learn a soft lose. That's why my family doesn't play
anything. My family is competitive. It gets loud and crazy.
Oh.
But they also don't drink on my side of the family. So it's okay for them to like.
They
just,
don't drink?
On my dad's side of the family, no.
My family likes to drink.
But the younger cut, and that's why y'all don't play games.
No.
Because you can't have both.
That's our game.
You cannot.
Our game is drinking.
Yes. Because you can't have games and you can't have your cake and eat it too. Because families will get too crazy and it'll just, you know, family will still be ruined over it. Mm. Hollywood Dominoes, it's like this new there's a star in the middle. It's literally like you are a star playing dominoes.
Okay.
And like in the centerpiece, and like it's all the pieces look like little film strips.
What is
so it'll be like the number 12, it'll be written the number 12 instead of little dots. Fuck those dots. That's how we do it in Hollywood land. So it'll be like, it starts off, there's 12 rounds where you play as many as you can.
I mean, I don't even know how to play dominoes. So
well,
you've
got to link up, like if there's like a 12 and a 12, you've got to have a 12 piece that'll connect to it.
Oh.
And then a 12, like so I have a 12-5, so I can put my piece down.
Why do I think there's more math involved?
Maybe in, well, at the end.
Okay.
Here's the thing. In a nutshell, there's a red carpet. You can play on the red carpet.
Fancy.
I mean, long story long, first round I wasn't doing so well, but then the second round I caught up.
You're like,
aunties,
I know this shit.
And also, like, here's the thing. And so every time I would win, I thought we were done. And my aunties kept wanting to play again because I was winning and they're competitive. One of my aunties would have strategies to lock me out of the game. Like, she was in it to win it.
Maybe I'm glad my family doesn't have these traditions.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
But I was like, I got you, aunties. I got you. And like, so then I thought we were done playing. And so I gave a speech as if I was doing the Oscars.
Of course you did.
I was like, I would like to thank
my
dad. I'd like to thank God. I'd like to thank my mother for always saying. And then with my aunts, without skipping a beat, started doing
Oh, just playing you off!
To blame me off!
You guys are definitely related.
We are family. And then we played another round. But I said to my family as I was shutting it down, I was like, mm-hmm. listen, do not have a game that involves a star and some red carpet, because I did not come here to make friends. I did not come here to make friends. I came here to win and get my star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh my goodness. I believe it.
So that's what happened.
I'm into that.
I'm like, have you watched Glow on Netflix? Yes,
I just finished it last night.
Okay, I am on around episode 4 or 5.
Okay, so you're right in the middle.
Be careful with me. Be careful with
me. I'm not going to say anything.
Be gentle.
I am a big proponent of not spoiling things.
She's gonna.
Even though I tend to spoil The Bachelor for my friends all the time.
Whatever.
Just because it's, you know. But
their life ain't
I'll be good. I won't spoil it.
Okay.
So what I will say, though, as a good librarian, I did my research beforehand.
What? Research about
and
this.
And there is a documentary on the true show.
So this is based on a real thing.
Yeah, The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling
Holy
is a
fuck.
Real thing that apparently was very popular. So I'm guessing all my friends that are like late 30s, early 40s,
yeah.
they're like, oh yeah, we know Glow. Because apparently it was super popular for like a flashpoint in time.
I missed to 85. I didn't get it.
Yeah,
I was
no.
born in 85.
I was too
it.
Young.
Yeah.
I was too busy pooping my pants.
Yeah. to tune in for those yeah. gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
Exactly. So I did some research and I watched the documentary, which was all about the real women. And I have to say, the TV show did an excellent job mirroring it.
Mm.
The TV show is fictional. So
okay.
everybody in the show is fictionalized. They don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some mirrored opportunities. And a lot of the things that they pulled off of were exactly from the show.
Like, and so, because like, and some of it, and this doesn't spoil it, but like, they're trying to create their personalities.
Right.
And there'd be like really bad stereotypes.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's one thing about the show that I like. I'm always fascinated anytime a show that's not done by like Shonda Rhimes or Ava DuVernay
yeah.
has more than one black person on
exactly.
it. And there's like two black women on it. There was
yeah.
some diversity on
there's
it.
There's so what's her face from Mr. Robot is on it.
Which one is she?
She
Cherry?
No.
I love that woman.
Cherry's great.
Yeah.
From Mr. Robot, it's God, what the fuck is her name? Anyway, she...
But they made her the... She was like, I want to be a queen. And they made her like the welfare queen.
No, I'm not talking about the black ladies.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the Middle Eastern lady who they make into a terrorist.
To a terrorist, yeah.
So the thing is, when I saw that, I was like, ugh. But that's how it was.
Yeah.
That's exactly... On the real show, they had a woman who was Samoan.
Yeah.
And she was tall and... like a bigger woman.
Yeah.
She was Mount Fuji.
Okay.
They had Little Fuji, who was a tiny Asian woman. They had a terrorist lady. They had a Russian
wow.
lady come in. They like had Nazis. Like they straight up, they had a black woman. I forget what her, I think she was like Big Mama something.
Yeah.
Voodoo lady. She was a voodoo lady.
Ooh, the '80s.
So it was pretty rough.
It's so interesting because I feel like the '80s are such an interesting thing to sort of look back onto because there were such interesting conversations happening in, like, the late 60s and the 70s.
Right.
And even, like, you know, RuPaul had the... What's that guy's name? Shit, there's this guy who produced, like, most of, like, the comedies in the... The TV comedies in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, All in the Family.
Oh, yeah.
Maude, the Jeffersons.
Fuck. God. Our listeners totally know.
I know
who this
you're
is
screaming
right
at
too.
Us, but yeah. that guy and like mm-hmm. he. So a lot of those shows would talk about like it was a way they would talk about a lot of the shit.
Talk
that
about
was,
race.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because I feel like you go into the 80s and it just that conversation dipped out.
Oh yeah,
and I wonder if it has to do with some of the leadership that was happening.
Completely.
Those conversations disappear and they kind of peak back up in the 90s. And the yeah. same thing happened again when Bush was president. We stopped talking about racism.
Right. That's what's happening right now.
Mm.
I mean, mm-hmm. right now we can't really avoid it because it's so in our face and
yeah.
it's gotten insane.
Yeah.
But I feel like in our history, we go into conservative liberal times. And during the conservative times, like in the 80s with Reagan
yeah.
and Bush,
mm-hmm.
it was very much of a, everything's fine,
mm-hmm.
but we're like going to be secretly racist and have a war against drugs and crack and all of this
yeah.
epidemic. So I feel like the way of being subversive in the 80s, because they weren't aware of actually being like kind about being subversive, was to make fun of it.
Yeah.
But it creates a weird situation where it's...
Because the people in power are still white folks. So it's
right.
not... It's not in safe hands. So it's
right.
like if you and I were to do a wrestling show based on like Minority Corner and like stereotypes, like... I think we would have a very smart, satirical way about doing it. We would try to in whatever way.
Yeah.
Like a Rachel Dolezal wrestling versus...
I mean, things always get a little tricky whenever you're dealing with a culture that's not your own.
Absolutely, yeah. You know? And so I would want to bring on a team of people because we have awareness, you know?
Right.
Going back to GLOW, it's so weird because I feel like in some ways the show is trying to kind of just show it like this is how it was in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But like... And just putting, like, this is how it is.
Yeah.
And because it's weird, because sometimes you're like, oh, that's really weird and fucked up. But they're, like, literally being like,
this is how it was.
There's so many titties on that show.
Oh, yeah. They casually do a titty thing.
Because that's so 80s. Like, in the 80s, it was like, titties were always happening.
But they also do a great thing about the show that I appreciate is, and I think the reason that they have casual titties in the show is because it's very much a women's body move, like, show. It's very much of, this is not sexualized. This is just women's bodies doing things with their bodies, taking autonomy of their bodies. And there's several moments in the whole show that I'm not going to go into because I don't want to do spoilers, but that are done in a very plain, non-sensationalized kind of way.
Yeah.
So it almost is like women reclaiming their bodies because in a sense, the female form has been taken away from women.
Mm.
You are owned, you are married off,
mm-hmm.
you have a child, the child is, that's that the child owned your body, sexualized bodies.
But, like, women are bodies.
Right. But to a woman, your body is just your fucking body. It's no big deal.
It's my elbow.
Yeah, you got tits. Who cares? They're just there.
All right.
You
know? Flop around.
You got a period. Big whoop, okay. You got a period.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that gaze, in a sense, that GLOW has, where it just inverts it and it's like it's just a body.
Yeah.
And you use it to wrestle and do all of that. Because I watched the documentary, because I know the stereotypes are real,
mm-hmm.
it makes me appreciate it a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
And there is, they do touch on it a little bit. Mm-hmm. There are some conversations where people are like, I'm uncomfortable with
this. Yeah, there is a conversation, but I feel like that's also the level that you could even have that conversation in the 80s if you were mm-hmm. involved in that show, like the sort of small protests that, like, you know?
Right.
And it's like just, again, like the things that you could get away with back then that you just couldn't do even now.
Exactly.
Like, what's that show with all those white people that live in New York and pretend that black people don't exist?
Friends.
Okay, yeah. And so it's like, I have a friend of mine who is a diehard fan of that show, but now when she goes back and watches it, she's like, ugh, it's cringeworthy. It's like somewhat homophobic. Like, once you become aware, it's hard to go back.
It's hard to go back.
Yeah, and so there's like that line of like, there's things that you could do back then that you can't. I think the show is interesting because I feel like it's just putting up a mirror of, like, this is how it was.
This is how it was.
Yeah.
And they do a good way of
there's
showing...
There's a lot of coke that gets done casual coke.
Casual coke. And they flip the personalities. Like, the black woman who's, like, Wilford Queen and who's, like, the hip-hop lady, they show their real lives, who they are. They show the terrorist lady is just, like, a student. She's just studying, you know? Like, they really do a good job of being, like, that's the persona and the character and trashy, kind of, it is.
Yeah,
but on the flip side, this is who these real people are too.
The humanization of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's weird. It's like one of the most complicated Netflix shows that I've watched. Like, it has such conflicted, but there's just a lot that I'm sort of processing. And I think it's something that's so interesting that right now, like the TV that's happening, like some of the best storytelling is happening. You're seeing in TV, and so you're seeing a lot of high-profile actors and actresses move into television.
Yeah.
Because TV is the new indie film.
Oh, totally.
You know, back in the 90s, everyone did indie films.
Right.
Because there were such great storytelling happening there.
Right.
And now it's in these TV
television
shows. Yeah.
I will have to say that GLOW has the best portrayal of a black marriage and a black husband that I've seen in a long time. Just casual, fun, nice, and supportive of each other.
And they even have, like, a sex scene. And,
it's
like,
really
his body is just a regular old body man.
And he's, like... I love Keith.
Yeah.
He's the best character.
I've only seen him like a little bit when
they toss him in there and he's good. He's
when they
good.
Watch like Bloodbath 7 or
oh,
something.
Oh yeah, and he just comes out in his robe.
Just hanging out. Yeah.
It's one of those where it's like you watch the show and you're afraid it's gonna go in certain directions and they never take
the
cheap
shot. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, stamp of approval.
Yeah.
By Aneke. She's into it. Before we cut to your corner, someone's corner.
A corner.
We're going to go to someone's corner.
We're
going
to go to a corner.
We'll find out who's in there.
Your corner.
Good. Before we get to there, I just want to do a little plug. I think everyone should have a bidet.
Uh-uh.
I think I okay. Well, the debate is on.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. In this corner, Aneke. She is for.
I am anti bidet.
And I am pro debate.
Let's do this.
Wait,
debate.
That's my. That's
the name of the debate. It's a debate.
We're having a debate. It's also gonna be the name of the pop princess. I'm Gina Lohanning.
Oh, DeBay.
DeBay. Ooh, she good. I'ma get you wet.
See?
Okay. I'ma get you wet. Okay.
In your butthole.
Anti-DeBay. DeBay? DeBrat.
DeBay.
Anti-DeBrat.
Anti-bidet.
Bidet. It's hard.
Yes.
I don't know the words, honey. I feel like Patti LaBelle on a Christmas special. Oh,
where are the cue cards? Where are my backup singers?
That reminds me. I need to send that to my aunt. Because I told them about that.
Yeah.
At the bar, 4th of July barbecue.
At Hollywood Domino's.
At Hollywood Domino's. And because Patti LaBelle has a put. They were like, ooh, they were raving about Patti LaBelle's banana pudding or something.
Oh, yeah. She makes some good food.
Yeah. But anyways, why are you like not about bidets?
Truth be told. Okay. I went to a fancy Japanese restaurant. Mm-hmm. Used the bidet. Mm-hmm. Because it had all these gadgets and I was pushing some buttons. Yeah. And it was fun and I was high on sake. Mm-hmm. Got some nice warm water, squirted in my vagina.
Delightful.
I got a raging yeast infection after that.
Oh, no. Fair enough.
So when you have a self-cleaning organ like your vagina, maybe you don't need a bidet.
Okay, I see that. As someone who's been known to take a shit or two on the daily.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like to dabble.
I don't know.
One in, one out. Okay. That is my usual thing. Keep it flowing and going. So, we're going to talk about poop. We made it to that level. I think it's like our first time really talking about poop in
detail.
We haven't
really gotten to a little bit of scat chat.
Yeah, all right, a little scat chat. Hey, it's dirty. But everybody does it. So, I guess my thing is that, like, and someone brought this up. So, I am staying in a place where there is a bidet.
And a warm-ass toilet seat.
And the toilet seat comes up when, like, you walk in.
Fancy.
It comes up. And, like, you can, it's all kinds of, it's a roboticized toilet.
It's fancy.
The Jetsons are here. The future is now.
In the toilet.
It is, yeah. And there's a little button you can get, you can get your back bidet'd.
Your back?
Well, not your back, but, like,
your butthole.
Your asshole bidet'd.
Okay.
And you can get, like, your front parts.
I like how you were being gentle with it, and I'm just like, your butthole.
You're like, your butthole, your vagina. And I'm trying
your
to keep
dick.
It PG. I'm trying to keep it PG. Someone's got to do it.
Okay.
We can't both be. It's got to be.
It's true. We got to
keep
it balanced.
We can't both be nasty cop.
I will forever be your nasty cop to your good cop.
Yeah, right. We both got to flip and flop it. Flip flop. That's what the kids are doing. That's what he said. So, anyways, and so, like, it's a new thing where you can buy these bidets.
Yeah.
We are not getting any money for this right now. They're like, are we hawking something?
No, we're not.
Just, free
just talking
marketing.
About it.
So there's like these, and I think it's like the Bidet 3000 or something.
Okay.
And someone brought this, or was talking about this at a barbecue, at a party. Not my family's one, but a different one.
Yeah.
And there was like just sort of like the commercial for it, I guess, is like a bowl of spaghetti.
Oh.
And someone just takes like, a bowl of spaghetti's gone. So it's like just like the sauce is left.
Oh, it's a nasty bowl.
Yeah, it's a nasty bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And someone just takes like a paper towel and just a dry paper towel and just wipes it around.
Okay.
And they're like, you borrowed your friend's spaghetti bowl. Would you give it back to them just like this?
That is a good point.
Right? And so it's like, and you use less toilet paper. And you feel so much more fresh and so much more clean. So I don't know why for centuries, the technology has been there.
Mm-hmm.
We have access to it. And
mm-hmm.
I think it'll create jobs and
you know what?
Global warming.
I will say, use it as a caveat.
Mm-hmm.
Women.
Mm.
Clean your butthole. That's fine.
Yeah. Everybody.
Men, yeah, but
everybody
women,
clean your butthole.
Specifically, protect your gyne. You never know what is lurking in the pipes that could affect your balance in your vagina.
Oh, she went to good cop. So I'm going to nasty out. Ladies, clear out your vagina. There could be nasty shit in there.
No.
Well, I don't know. But there could be things. It's different.
Yeah, you just, with a bidet, there's things that might just.
How about a butt debate?
I think a butt can handle anything.
I think, do we test it. Huh? Do you know like the number one reason why people end up in the ER?
Butt?
Shit that they put in their butts. I mean, people are very curious. And you know what? I am not one to stifle Curious George or Curious Georgina.
You could put something in your butt. That's fine.
Okay.
But I think your butt's more durable than your vagina.
So I think we're in agreement.
Yeah.
Pro butt debate.
Yes.
I can't say this word.
butt bidet.
We are pro butt bidet. You had to walk me through it. Thank God we're in person because I literally just watched your lips and was like,
we like melted you together. Like sent me it was like a nasty Sesame Street fucking like segment.
Butt bidet.
Butt bidet.
Learn, laugh, and play. We are keeping up to our mantra.
It's true.
Girl, we need to get to these corners.
All right, I'm ready for your corner.
Wash your butts out and come on back.
Quizlet Corner.
Summer school's in session.
Oh my God.
But not Jeff Sessions.
Gross.
Fuck that guy.
Extra credit. Make it up. You failed during the school year. Now it's the summer and you're stuck in class.
We got you. We got you. Everybody graduates. Donna Martin graduates. Donna Martin graduates.
Speaking of another show that didn't have any black people in it.
Oh yeah. 90210. Yeah. Goddamn. You know, their last season, they brought in an Asian girl. You know, shows always be doing that. Their last season, minute, they're just like, oh, wait, we forgot about this. See, that's why it's still a test. Like, I think the only reason why Clueless is interesting is because it wasn't just five white people.
No, they had two black people in there.
There was, in the TV show, it was three. There were two black guys.
Oh.
Yeah, and a Stacey Dash, or a Dion.
Was Stacey Dash, wasn't, she's black. She wasn't, no, but barely. But she wasn't on, she was on the show.
She was on the TV show and the movie. Only person that didn't come from the movie was Alicia Silverstone,
who was replaced by Rachel Blanchard or something.
Sure. And actually, I think there were two different, the first 10 episodes had some other white chick on there, and then that other girl came in.
Damn.
You know what, Alicia Silverstone, you probably should have done the TV show, because you then did Batman and Robin.
I know, she was Batgirl. It was terrible.
With like Nipple Batman USA.
Joel Schumacher recently apologized for that.
You know what, I'm gonna take his apology. Oh, and this is going to be really hard for me to say.
Uh-oh, here we go. Take your time.
I forgive you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's hard. That was hard.
That's good.
Because you know what? That needed to happen because Batman and Robin then single-handedly destroyed the comic book movie.
It's true.
And what we have now is you can't just make a movie just to make a buck. And it was literally about making a buck to sell toys. It was like shitty movies galore.
I mean, that's kind of now, too.
But I feel like now, like, I mean, folks like Marvel are you've got to make good quality stories bring us back.
Yes.
And like, it's like people who are actually fans are making these stories. All those movies in the past, like, I don't think they even picked up the comic book.
I don't
book.
Think Joel, yeah, they didn't know.
I had no idea.
Clearly
what's going on.
On Catwoman.
Well, yeah.
They did not know.
And Catwoman was still of the old times.
Yeah.
And Catwoman, we said this before, she would have came out in 1994, that movie would have been
amazing.
Yeah, it would have fit the times, the zeitgeist. Yes. Anyways, quiz at court. Oh, she's trying to distract me, y'all, from her quiz.
You know what? I am ready.
Ooh, Let me put my glasses on.
Make me feel more smart.
You like when there's like a substitute teacher or you don't want to take that quiz and you're just like, you're hey, like, teacher, what about over there?
Yeah.
I got hella questions for you. So here we go.
Okay.
All right. What city? This is for you. For you specifically.
Aneke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What city is home to the largest book fair in the U.S.?
I work in libraries. We don't sell books.
Oh.
So I don't follow the ins and outs of booksellers.
This quiz, I'm not changing the question.
Okay. Let me think.
I'm going to give you the reason why I'm asking this. This is based on a Queerity article that says 8 reasons you'll be glad you're queer in this blank city.
And one of them is because they have the biggest book selling.
And one of them is because they have the biggest book fair in the U.S.
I should have been glad you're a nerd in this city.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm only kidding.
The mic is so hot, Bill O'Reilly. We still recording.
It was a soft pitch. Okay. I had to go for it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say.
And LGBT and you're in the
book
city.
Fair. High book fair.
And also, it's a place where just like, apparently it is a great place to just be queer and live in your best life.
I'm going
to
say Philadelphia.
Huh, City of Brotherly Love?
I don't know.
No.
Oh, okay.
But good guess. All right.
What is it?
You're on the East Coast.
Okay.
Welcome to Miami. Bienvenido.
Miami?
Miami, right? Isn't that wild? Miami is home to the largest book fair in the U.S.
Because ain't nobody reading down there.
Well,
I know.
So they are where they get their profit. So this one, because it's summer, I wanted to give you a quiz that also gives you, if you have not booked your summer vacation plans and you are LGBT, apparently Miami's got it going on.
Go to Miami.
A little something for everybody.
Miami is a lot.
It is a lot, but it's also literary hub of the world for the Miami book fairs that happen there. It's the largest book fair in the U.S.
Wow.
It brings, and that book fair brings major events featuring famous authors as there. Oh. And apparently has a partnership with Reading Queer.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and so they also includes like readings, seminars, appearances by authors. Once we get our book, we're going to Miami.
We're down there. I'm down for that.
Yeah, hawking our book at Miami.
Miami's a lot. Miami's the first place that I saw a lot of just butts. Just out in the open, just a lot of just naked butts.
I saw a lot
thonged
of
butts.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that. I saw a lot of the first time I saw so much like what are those things when you get the plastic surgeries?
Fillers.
Oh, well, the bandages. I saw a lot of bandages.
You saw a lot of bandages.
So walking around South Beach, there'd be like bandages here on the nose, a bandage on the under.
Everybody looks gorgeous. It's like a tropical Vegas.
It is, yeah. Well, there's some other things going on for you if you are down in Miami.
Okay.
So it's home to a huge LGBTQ film scene down there.
Oh, wow.
So
they got a lot of culture going on down there.
A lot of film festivals. Y'all didn't know. I'm blowing it up. Mm-hmm. They also have a Lady Gaga Planetarium light show.
Okay.
You're not sold on that one.
I mean, you Gaga kind of...
But a light show to Lady Gaga music sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, not selling you on this.
I mean, sure.
There's a cabaret. So there's a local legend. Her name is Janae Cat.
Okay.
So if you go down to see her, she's a cabaret lounge singer. She's a Miami institution.
I love this. This sounds great.
Yeah, she's this dope woman. You know, I think she's Black. She's POC, and she is fabulous. So go support her. She's at the Shelbourne Hotel in South Beach.
Ooh.
It's also home to some of the best for our those who identify as male.
Mm-hmm.
It's some of like the best place for men shopping.
Oh.
Because Miami just really be doing it up,
I guess. They do have it's a fashion capital down there.
It is. And it's also home to some of the biggest parties. And what I love about it.
Yeah, they like to party.
You got the winter party.
Okay.
Sizzle.
Ooh.
The white party. And also, this is my favorite, and this is why I wanted to talk about this. They also have Aqua Girl.
What is this?
Largest lady party.
Okay.
And apparently, just as much bare skin and debauchery that you would find at any of the male circuit parties.
I'm sure.
So... Ladies, I am so proud, because I was thinking, I was like, lesbians, y'all get up on this? Y'all like, you know.
Yeah, they do. They got their, Dinah Shore is huge.
I don't even know what that is, but I'm glad it exists.
It's a lady party.
Damn. All right. So ladies, get up on this. Our lesbian ladies, get up on this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just get up. I just made me so happy. I was you know, they're just doing their thing.
You just want to have everybody having fun.
Is that too much to ask?
It is not.
Is that everybody just having fun?
Everybody free.
To feel good. My next single.
Okay.
Someone write that, or did I write that?
That's a real song.
Oh, damn it.
That's a real.
I was like, damn, that was one of our best.
I know, you were feeling it.
I was like, well, I better jot this down before I forget this.
No,
all right. True or false?
Yes.
Frosted tips are making a comeback.
That's true.
It is.
Sadly.
Yeah. What's your feelings about this?
Stupid. Mm-mm. I grew up during a time when frosted tips were all about it. I probably had frosted tips.
Everybody.
I had some bleach streaks up in my hair.
Mm-hmm.
One, it destroys your hair.
Okay.
Two, you look dusty and dumb. Three, why are these newer generations tightening that loop? Start dipping back into the 60s. Dip back into the 70s. Don't go back into like the fucking 1998. That's too soon.
We just did it, and we got rid of it for a reason.
Yeah, don't do it.
Yeah, so their Twitter is all... in an uproar, and like no one knows what to do because they've been seeing so many frosted tips. And maybe what if one of our Aneke secret, can I talk to you?
Okay.
All right. But what if our listeners they got the frosted tips?
You know what? Do what you need to do.
Okay.
If you're okay with looking dusty, be all but have your fun.
But you know what? If you come into an in-person meet and greet with us, Aneke's gonna side eye you.
No, I'm not. I'm gonna be very nice to you, but when you walk away, I'm gonna be like frosted tips.
Oh yeah. And we'll be like,
no, no. I don't want
and
you
actually,
to be shy.
When we take our picture with you, we're gonna point at your frosted
no.
tips.
No.
Because you know what? Doing your thing. Okay, here's the thing. Okay, next one. Ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
You got 1 point. We're going to keep track of the score.
We're keeping track.
It's your quiz.
All right.
Girl, you might be in summer school. If you're going to get out of summer school, might not be a summertime in Eke this year.
Oh my God.
All right.
Pressure.
The gay leather scene is dead, according to a new study. True or false?
I want to say false.
Damn, do you study? Why'd you say false?
Because I just feel like I haven't really been hearing people being like, time to hang up my harness.
Wow. You're right. 2 points. There you go.
Oh, I get two.
You got that.
Two points for Gryffindor.
No. One. We're adding up your score. Oh, you're okay. At two. I'm see how three. She do?
I'm just.
See
know.
How she do?
I'm
she,
slick.
She is slick, right? You gotta be keep an eye on these summer school kids. They are. You know what? I want you to get this right so we can be done with summer school. So you almost had me. So yeah, there's Queerty had this article. This guy Mike Mish. There was this conversation of, is the gay leather scene dead?
Okay.
It's not. Why would you say that it's not? So you said because you haven't heard anybody be like, no more harnesses.
No more harnesses. I don't know. I just kind of feel like my finger tends to be on the pulse with things.
It is.
Just like how I know Lady Gaga and Katy Perry are kind of fading out of the zeitgeist right now.
Thank God. For half of that. Yeah. I love a good gogs.
You like a good gogs.
If that other beast can't get out of here soon enough...
But I'm just,
I can get my life back.
I'm just trying to say that Gaga isn't what she used to be.
No one ever is.
But, you know, some people are still on top. Like, a Selena Gomez is still on top. But I feel like the leather scene still, like, when Folsom Fair comes rolling its ass through San Francisco, everybody dusts off their straps and harnesses and...
And all their things.
Yeah.
But you know what? It is, it's shift, it still exists. You're absolutely right. It's shifting and it's changing. And he says, well, so there was a conversation and Mike Mish actually, I think he posed the question. He was like, you know, these days, even the youngins are showing up to gay kink themed events, styling themselves in decorative neoprene harnesses as if performing some kind of butch drag.
Okay, there we go.
And you and I have had this conversation
we
too.
We have.
Because my friend Danny and I, a group of us all bought harnesses together.
Yes.
And it's funny because it's like we were having a conversation. I've never used a harness for sex.
Didn't we talk about
this?
Yeah, we talked about this.
We were talking about this.
It's like it's like the accessory that you wear for Folsom Street.
Literally,
wear.
Just sort of like an accessory if you know you're going to like a sexy themed dance party.
Yeah, you put your harness
on. Put your harness on.
Like I have one and go to it. But I don't. I just know about this stuff.
And I love wearing it to a sexy themed party, but it's like I've never actually worn it for sex or whatnot.
Also, the reason that I don't think it's ever going to go away because there hasn't been a substitute for sexiness in outside of leather. Leather is sexy.
Yeah, I mean. I don't even know what that would be, like wearing like marshmallow puffy clothing.
I guess, but or then like I get sticky. Rubber maybe, but nobody's really wearing rubber. Leather is just...
It just works.
It
ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
Well, Mish was also saying that the scene, it's shifted, it's just different. It's just evolving. Mm. So it's worlds away from the scenes of like, the 70s and the 80s, where it was
sort
of... Yeah,
nobody's wearing like the hat. Well,
not like just like walking down the street, but like at a sexy party or like a little meetup at a house, sure, you know?
Somebody will be wearing that hat.
Because it's like, it's fetishy, you know?
That's kind of cheesy, though.
But like, oh, I don't know.
Okay, maybe it's sexy.
Ooh, yeah. You ain't going to the right houses, girl. Okay. Just there for dinner. But like, as like Tom...
I know.
But, like,
you know, go that was featured, away after dessert.
You do. Like, it was featured like in Tom of Finland, which is funny because the house that we're staying at, Tom of Finland is standing right... That book?
Yeah, I know.
That book, Tom of Finland.
Yeah, he's not wearing that hat in the
He ain't wearing nothing, and he is sexy as hell.
But I've seen that same Tom of Finland with that hat. But that's like the quintessential 70s kind of leather look.
It was sort of, it's a fetishization of things. So I think what sort of shifted is you're seeing less kink clubs, less sex clubs, and less bathhouses.
Interesting.
But you're getting, it's being more concentrated. And the Bay Area Reporter did an article about this because of things like apps. You no longer need cruising bars.
You just find that person.
Exactly. And so it's like essentially you go on an app. There's an app for that. Mm-hmm. And you order your kink in detail via these apps. And you're able to sort out what you need and what you don't want. You know?
Well, it's less Target, more boutique.
You know what? That's exactly it. Yeah. You know, I think that the kink community has managed to step up to the year 2017. Mm. I think it's kind of great.
I like it.
Again, steering away from like, there's a way to get what it is that you want without, you know, denigrating other people and other communities, which I think, and I've been on like, you know, I don't use the apps anymore. You know, retired. I'm old man James again. But like when I was on there, like I've seen some shit where it's like, this guy's like, I want you to come over here and smell my socks.
And you're like,
and,
what?
Yeah. Like, but I appreciate that. Like, like copy and paste list of the things that like, you wanted or whatever it was.
But then you find somebody who's into that shit and you don't have to worry about like, one, exposing yourself. Self and being open or you know making somebody feel uncomfortable
absolutely so I think in some ways that you're able to just in doing it the more the safety and comfort in your own home and it doesn't have to be so I mean no you can get more specific on what it is that you want so just go into this bar and hope when you get for the best
you might I can see you know what I can kind of see going into a bar being able to find out that you like something that you didn't know that you
liked. True it's like when you go to the library
yeah
that's
or,
true
or when you browse Target
Same thing. Same thing. Kink Bar is very similar to a library and Target.
You know?
Same thing.
You just browse and you find out that you like it. Mm. But also, so I can see both.
So I think, but that's why, like, you have the big events. So what the so you've seen a rise in numbers of IML in Chicago, which is, like, their kinky thing. I think 15,000 people went last year.
Okay.
Folsom Street Fair in San Francisco, you see crowds of, like, 400,000 people.
It's like Disneyland.
It's huge, yeah, it's right? Huge. And then there's Door Alley for, like, the real folks who are really... Folsom Street Fair has become like the Disneyland version of things. Mm-hmm. The Door Alley, you come there to play.
Your butt's gonna get spanked.
Yeah, and so just be ready for that. This is not just like, it's a participatory experience and exercise. And then there's a Folsom Street East in New York. I didn't know.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I'll see you later.
I didn't know.
I'll be reporting live, so we'll find out what's happening
there. Bring your microphone.
All right, next question. You're doing well.
Thank you.
All right, this comes from MissTravel.com. They did a little survey.
Okay.
True or false?
Oh.
We're just keeping it real simple. You got 50% shot for you. Women over men prefer their men hairless.
That's false.
Are you sure?
You're saying women over men.
Yeah. So like women versus gay men.
Oh.
Yeah. So women over gay men prefer their men's hairless.
Oh, I don't know now. I know women like a hairy man, but I also know that a gay man likes a hairy man.
What's your gut say?
My gut.
What does Olivia Pope say? Your inner OPA.
It's gonna be wrong because I don't feel confident in this
and
one.
And you know what? Neither does Olivia these days.
I know she's a mess. I feel like her she's a mess. I wish I could just say that they're equal because I feel like everybody likes a hairy man, but I like a hairy man.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna say that. Women like hairier men than gay guys.
You would be incorrect.
Oh.
So, I'll give you the reverse. So what it was 50% of gay men said they like their men to be furry.
Okay.
And while 61% of women said that they prefer hairless bodies. It's like, I don't know.
It's a preference. I'm not yucking anybody's yum. I am not yucking anybody's yum.
Maybe have a ladies' conference and be like, you're like, I like to readdress the statistic.
Like, can we follow this up?
Because who was polled? I'm curious. Because it's just not, you're like, that's not the data I'm seeing. It's like the election all over again. And Aneka did not see this one coming.
I did not. 61% of women like a hairless man.
Like a hairless man. So it's like only 40% of like women less, like 39%. I'm not a mathematician. 39% of women like I'm hearing. So man, and it's interesting because
What?
MissTravel.com. So take it up with them. Take it up with them.
I know. I'm going to have to because who are these women that like children?
Well,
didn't see that.
Well, you did. But
I did.
Manhunt in 2013. So this follows similar data that Manhunt in 2013 found that 79% of gay men wanted their men to leave their body hair the way God intended.
Mm-hmm.
And only 21% wanted it shortened. So. So
that's still saying
gay men love
like
a hairy body.
Like a hairy body.
And as for man, I love this little fact. So as for manscaping, MissTravel.com surveyed revealed that nearly half of men do manscaping to their chest. About 46% reporting that.
I'm not surprised by that.
But it's so fascinating because I know in the gay community, yes, I just love hearing that straight men are also grooming themselves and getting themselves cute.
Straight men hella groom themselves, especially if they're in the dating scene. Also. I think I can understand a woman will like a groomed man, not just like fur man.
Yeah.
I think a woman will more prefer a groomed man.
But this statistic, literally the one that you're talking about that you got wrong, it literally says hairless. That's what they're voting for. They want it smooth like a baby.
Who is not? I feel like everybody has hair.
They want to get it out of my face. Maybe because you don't want it like in your teeth. Because sometimes like, it'll get caught.
Same with gay dudes.
Yeah, but we're into that. I want like a mouthful of just bush.
That sounds like going down on a lady.
But like, I'm not gonna turn my nose up at that.
No.
I'm not gonna turn my nose up at that because you know what? It's kind of fun. Been there. I've been down there.
I know you have.
You know, I like to hang out.
You have dabbled in the lady part.
Not like to, but I can. I can if I need to.
That sounds terrible.
I will.
James!
Whip it out, ladies. Sure.
What is this, a casting couch? There. What's happening?
I'd just be in a friendly neighborhood. James,
you're not doing something you like if you have to say I'll do it if I need to.
I mean, it's not like I don't like it, but like, sure. Hey.
Yeah, you're not Gold Star.
I get to work on my mouth exercises.
That's nice.
Work on my alphabet pronunciation.
You do a little cunnilingus and then you go and perform a theater production.
Exactly. Before a show. And that's why I'm getting all these rave reviews.
Just limbered up.
Just, I'm all
limbered
up. Wow,
I am fascinated by that. Because I feel like literally everybody, except for somebody who suffers from alopecia, has some sort of hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, when they say hairless, I think they just, like, they want it, like, 90s style was all about, like, the shaven body. You saw it in Baywatch, David Chocachief.
Yeah. He was a hot man.
He was a hot, hairless little man, which is a little bit of Happy Trail.
See? Hair!
But, like, I think, but that still quantifies as, like, hairless, because he's got to work for that, you know?
I guess ladies like a naked peck.
They do. They want to be able to see the nip, free the nip from the hair. I want to see it all. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You discuss amongst your ladies.
I'm interested now to wonder what the date was, because that lumberjack look is back.
Oh, it came back.
Yep.
It barely
left. Love that lumberjack
barely
look.
Took a break off. You know what? I was wearing it for 4th of July, and I was just, so maybe
it did.
Me too.
I was wearing a plaid shirt.
I was too. Red and black?
Yes.
Wow.
Twins!
We don't call ourselves the Wonder Twins of podcasting for nothing.
That's so true.
Next quiz. See how she tried to distract me from the next quiz?
Well, you know.
We just got a few more here. Iggy Azalea.
Gross.
Back. Azalea Banks.
Okay.
Iggy Azalea. You're not excited about any of this. No. Iggy Azalea declined a collaboration with Azalea Banks. True or false?
God, please true. Please true. Oh, it's false.
It's false. They're gross. Collaborating.
No, and I don't like it. This is the worst idea ever.
Because both of them, we were done with both of the Azaleas.
Still done.
We were done with both of the Azaleas, and they were like, we better collab together.
That doesn't make it better.
I know, but that's what's happening. It's coming at you. Like, could, like, a more blatant, like, wanting fame and fortune, like, a blatant, like, we're having a feud and we're coming back together.
I am watching Basketball Wives now because it's summertime and I have junk TV to watch. Nick, whatever, he's a basketball player. His ex-girlfriend is on the show. She found out she was dumped because she looked on TMZ and he was dating Iggy Azalea.
Ew. I'm sorry that happened to you. Come on the show and we'll talk about it.
And then two of the Basketball Wives tried dog food. It's an interesting show.
Everybody wins.
Okay.
All right, we just got two more here for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to lump one of these together. Oh, this is the last one. Here we go.
Oh.
We're lumping these all together.
Okay.
So one of these is not true. Oh. It's an all, winner take all.
Free for all.
Free for all.
Yeah.
You get this one right, you win. No more summer school. You get it wrong, I'll see you next week and we'll, you know, we're going to learn you some something. Learn you some pop culture and some news.
See you next week.
All right. One of these is not true. Britney Spears went to Israel and brought peace to the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And the new study happened and it found out that young black girls
mm-hmm.
are also found to be adults in the eyes of the beholder.
Mm-hmm.
Maxine Waters calls out our HUD. Yeah. What's the HUD stand for?
Housing.
Urban Development Secretary.
Yes.
So Maxine Waters calls out our Ben Carson, Secretary of Human Urban Development.
And it's not Ben Carson, is it? I thought it's an...
No, it's Ben Carson.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And lastly, a Miami judge found Florida's recently updated Stand Your Ground law to be unconstitutional.
All right,
One of these is not true.
I'm not coming back next week.
Why?
Because I know the answer.
What? Are you sure?
Yes.
Think about it.
I know.
Okay, what?
Britney Spears brought chaos to the Middle East.
It was already in turmoil and enough. Poor girl. Poor woman. She was like, I'm going to go do this concert because y'all can't come to Vegas and come see me do my thing. And Britney Spears went to Israel. All hell fucking broke
chaos.
Loose. They weren't ready for it.
No, they weren't.
They were not ready for a piece of her.
No, they did not want a piece of her.
Well, like, what happened was, is like, she was coming. I thought the story's so funny. The power of fucking Britney Spears still, right?
Yeah.
She goes there. They changed the date of their national elections because it coincides with the day of her concert. Because they didn't want to, they want to make sure voter turnout was going to be high.
Mm-hmm. Which is ridiculous already.
And then she was supposed to have, like, a meeting with the prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen. But it's also not confirmed or denied whether or not it was going to happen. She was mobbed by the paparazzi.
Oh my God.
It was insane.
It was a mess.
It was absolutely insane. So you got that. Yeah, you did well.
Thank you. All these other stories I hope we go into because they're all fascinating.
Yeah.
I like them all.
So, yeah, the Georgetown Law Center of Poverty and Inequality.
Mm-hmm.
They did this study. There's an article, and you can find this on the Mother Sue.
Yeah.
And it's an article. It's called Girlhood Interrupted, the Erasure of Black Girls' Childhood.
I almost did a corner on this.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe you can touch on this too. Mm-hmm. So according to the HuffPost Black Voices section, adults believe, and this is on both sides, they tested bias not just with white folks, but it's just like in general. Mm-hmm. Adults believe that black girls seem older than white girls of the same age and think that black girls need less nurturing, mm-hmm. protection, support, and comfort than white girls.
I can attest to it as a former black girl.
As a former young black girl, right? Yeah.
I was definitely treated with a more mature hand than my other kids, peers were.
That's so fascinating.
Even at one point, a teacher yelled at me, pulled me aside, and directly told me, I'm doing this to you to teach the rest of the class a lesson.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. It's fucked up. But yeah. That's just the way black women are treated. Mm-hmm. We're seen as, like, you know, mothering, caretaking. And when we're children, because of that stereotype, nobody thinks to care for black girls. Mm. It's fucked up.
Yeah. Well, this study was also talking about, just in lieu of that, just some other facts about, like, what ends up happening to these young black girls. Mm-hmm. There are three interesting points. So black girls are also 5 times more likely to be suspended as white girls, mm-hmm. and twice as likely to be suspended as white boys.
Twice.
Yeah. And white boys be bad as all hell.
They are hella bad.
Them just disturbing all kinds of shit. And like in some schools you even see it's like, you know, I think black girls can be suspended for like wearing their hair in a certain way.
Right. We talked about that.
They also account for 28% of referrals to law enforcement, mm-hmm. and 37% of arrests, even though they make up less than 16% of the female school population.
That makes no goddamn sense.
But I know it doesn't make any sense, but it's like, but we understand why.
Exactly.
It's this set, again, like the way that they're viewed and punished more. And this article that I was also talking about, that mm-hmm. this stems from days of slavery, mm. that slaves, young slave children were never really seen as children.
Right.
They'd be put to work at the age of like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And they weren't given like playtime or anything like that. It's something that's so been continuously sort of like indoctrinated, sort of passed down. And again, like even, you know, parents can't really view sometimes, like, I think there's still that, I think some of that is even remnant for them of like,
oh, yeah.
You've got to get out there and work and
stop,
you've got to
stop crying, buck up, I can, you know, like, get out there, do what you got to do, you got to be upper hand, you got to be better than that. Mm-hmm. That's why the hashtag carefree black girl is so important, mm. because it's the antithesis to this.
Yeah,
it is the opposite. It is basically like, no, have fun, be silly, be wild and free, black girl. Mm-hmm. That's why black girl magic is there. It's mm. all there to combat these images of serious, working hard, single, lone wolf,
yeah.
kind of black woman image that's projected on these little girls.
Yeah. And then it's so funny because then you go back to, you know, the reverse of like that stereotype of fucking like that was viewed in GLOW of like this welfare queen.
Right.
And it's just so, I mean, and these are hardworking, badass women, you know?
Yeah.
And again, the biggest profits, the people that use welfare the most, it's white people. Mm-hmm. White people use it the most.
Right.
So there it is.
Right.
Last little fact are also, young black girls are also 3 times more likely than white girls to be referred to the juvenile justice system and 20% more likely to be charged with a crime. And you know the way that our system works. It's like once you're in there, mm-hmm. in that system, it's really hard to get, like, your record is tarnished at that point.
Yes.
They're probably, in some states, more likely to try you, like, as an adult. Mm-hmm. And even sometimes even put into detention centers sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And once you're in that system, again, like, those systems don't teach, there's no rehabilitation.
Right.
You learn how to be a better criminal.
Exactly.
You know, because that's all there is to talk about. Like, wow, I can get away with this, or, you know, you're not really there to take a time out. Not that you probably, like, again, the system's already against you and you probably don't even deserve to be in this, like, quote unquote time out.
Yeah.
But there's also, the system isn't there to help better yourself. Because again, we love a down and out black and brown person.
We do. It's so fucked up. It's like,
and when we say we don't mean we.
No,
we mean like
royal
that
we.
America.
Not Neke James.
Yeah.
Because we like our people uplifted.
Free and magical,
yes.
is the way that they were born.
So hug your black girls.
Yeah. Can I read some quotes from Maxine Waters?
Please.
So she was at an event.
I fucking love her.
And I just want to give her some time, and I want to give Maxine Waters the floor.
Okay.
So she was at an event, and she was going after Ben Carson. Yeah, and that, you were like, that can't be right. He mm-hmm. is the Secretary of Urban Development.
Okay, because I was getting him confused with the wedding
Rex
planner.
Tillerson? Oh,
no,
wait, the wedding
the wedding planner that Trump appointed to the housing development of New York.
At least she's black.
Still.
I know. It's like, is this a movie? Is this Jennifer Lopez's
like
straight to video
happening?
Sequel of the wedding planner?
It would
becomes
be a bad movie.
The city planner. But it's like a straight to DVD version, so they couldn't get Jennifer Lopez, so they got Jennifer Hudson.
Ooh, James, always. Never skip an opportunity.
Skipped it. Alright. So Maxine Waters, and I quote, said, "He knows nothing about the mission of HUD. He doesn't care about people in public housing. He believes that if you are poor, it is your own fault. And he does not know the difference between an immigrant and a slave."
It's Ooh. The truth, because he fucking said it.
She goes on. "He needs to go back to the hospital, back to the operating room. If he thinks when he comes before the House Committee on Financial Services, where I am the ranking member.
Yes.
And thinks that I'm going to give him a pass, I am going to take his ass apart."
I love her.
In closing, she said, "I have taken off the gloves. I am not going to tolerate a president who showed us who he is in his campaign.
Yep.
I don't honor him. Yep. I don't respect him. And I'm not going to tolerate him. I am going to do everything that I can to get him impeached."
Thank you. She's literally like the only person in Washington doing anything.
And I wanted to give her the floor because I wanted folks to know that there are people out there who are fighting for you on a daily basis.
Yes.
And Maxine Waters is one of them. So watch her, donate to her campaign and her
Please.
Causes,
because
if you donate to her campaign, it stretches the reach that her and the people that work with her are able mm-hmm. to do. So yeah. And the last one, a Miami judge found Florida's recently updated Stand Your Ground law unconstitutional, because they even made it even better for and easier for you to be able to shoot someone.
Jesus. I'm glad that somebody was like, "Wait a minute, y'all, you need some checks and balances."
Yeah, so this Miami judge like came in and shut that shit down.
Good.
And
he's been reading those books from the book fair.
Exactly, because you're in Miami. He's like, yeah, "Wait a minute, this is unconstitutional." It was the Miami Dade Circuit Judge Milton Hirsch.
Okay.
And I mean, like, because literally, because they were allowing, like, it made it even easier for you to shoot first and ask questions later because you were defending yourself. So they made it even easier for you to get away. Essentially, Florida was like, "How to Get Away with Murder." It was literally just like that TV show should be taking place in Florida.
Florida. Florida, I'm watching you.
And since the original Stand Your Ground law passed in 2005, gun-related homicides have risen 31.6% in Florida.
31.6%?
Yep.
Risen?
Yep.
Jesus.
So the new law that they had updated pretty much said that prosecutors had the burden to prove that the defendants who claim they shot in self-defense are wrong, rather than defendants having to prove that they were right. But sometimes those people are dead.
I know!
So it's like, well, they can't prove it.
That's
so
putting the blame on the victim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God.
And I also just wanted to throw a side eye before we wrap up here, this Quizlet, which you, no more summer school for Aneka.
Goodbye! I got my credits and I'm out.
She's out. The NRA did not show up for this Philando Castile, who he was a card-carrying
right.
NRA member. And they did not show up for him.
That's called racism, folks.
So just calling it what it is. NRA, you're a racist organization. If you're part of the NRA, fucking
maybe not support a racist organization.
Start your own organization or fucking challenge whoever's sitting at the top. They need to step down. Like,
right.
Your organization, like, do something.
Say, I can't believe that shit.
Yeah. So if you're part of the NRA and you're not, I'm telling, like, stand up and do something.
Right.
Because this is fucked up. And if that's what you really believe in, like, your organization is racist, so make it so it's not racist.
If you're not racist and you just love guns, you would have stood up for Philando.
Yep. So, there it is. And then, congratulations.
Yay!
School's out for a neck game.
Chug-a-chug-a-chug-a-chug-a-chug-a-chug. Corner.
She can do what she wants because it's her corner, yo.
Okay, so.
So what?
I found an article on feministing because I love feministing.
It's a great place to be.
And it is this article by Sejal Singh. And I was fascinated by it because everybody's been talking about healthcare mm-hmm. and how Trump is and the Republicans are doing a secret bill to get rid of like Obamacare and all that.
Yeah.
And Medicaid. So basically, it covers what Medicaid does, all of this stuff. So I'm just going to go through it.
Okay. Yeah.
So according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, the GOP health care bill, the one that everybody's like freaked out about,
mm-hmm.
that's going to like destroy the land, is going to give America's 500 wealthiest households a $33 billion tax break.
Do they need that?
No.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
They don't need that shit.
In desperate need of a bigger tax break. They do not need that shit. I didn't think so, but thank you for clarifying.
That is the equivalent of the cost of Medicaid for 800,000.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, 725,000. 800. Yeah, yeah, I see the number.
Yeah, you see the number?
It's a few hundred thousand under a million.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would, the $33 billion, that would have given that many low-income Americans Medicaid.
Wow. So they could, like, live and be okay.
Go to the doctor.
And try to live their best life.
Yes. Okay. So, as we know, the Senate Republicans were forced to delay the health care bill.
Yeah.
Which was excellent.
Thank you.
Yes. So, basically, what would happen with this health care bill, 22 million people would lose health care coverage. And that is largely due to the slashing and burning of Medicaid.
Wow.
So, because of that, just to kind of give you a little bit of understanding of what Obamacare did.
Oh, yeah. What was that doing?
Obamacare expanded Medicaid eligibility to all adults who earn up to 138% of federal poverty level. So Obamacare expanded it, and now this Republican bill wants to decrease it a lot.
Like, probably, like, less than what it was originally.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh, we're going to return it back to what it was. It's no. Like, we're going to make it even less even than it's worse. Ever been.
Yeah. So the Senate bill would cut $772 billion from Medicaid.
I'm just so confused. It's like, who...
By 2026.
...thinks that that is a good idea. Can you also...
Rich people.
I know, but like, I don't understand. I just don't understand. I don't understand.
I know. They just want that tax break, and they don't care about the 15 million people who would be kicked off of Medicare coverage.
And Medicaid covers, is that the same thing? Is that specific, who fits under Medicaid? Is like,
so I'll get you into that a little bit later on. Okay. Yeah. So basically, I still want to just kind of break down some of the cuts.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So here are some states that are going to be cut. Oh,
okay.
Basically, the biggest cuts. So Nevada will get a cut of $12 billion. West Virginia will get a cut of $12 billion. Arkansas, $7 billion. And Alaska, $2
billion. Why? Were they just like, these states get
those
it?
Those are the people who get Medicare in those states.
And wait, I feel like most of those states you listed all voted for Trump.
Exactly.
So just putting that out there, that's right. What you voted. That's what your vote went towards.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here we're going into what Medicaid kind of makes up.
Okay.
So about 30% of adults with disabilities use Medicaid.
My heart is breaking.
Nearly half of U.S. births are covered by Medicaid.
Wow.
60% of children with disabilities are covered by Medicaid.
60%.
And about 76% of poor kids, 3 in 4 from working class families, are recipients of Medicaid.
I'm fucking livid right now.
Literally the people who need it the most.
That is, like, we have to go back and, like, what is the point of a village? Mm-hmm. What is the point of a community? Mm-hmm. And the point is for us to be able to take care of each other. Like, babies can't take care of themselves. Right. It literally takes a fucking village. Like, And you yourself might be able to pay for all of these services, but, like, you still realize that you need help. And through your paying for it, it's creating a job for that person to build, to support their family.
It's a better community.
It's a better community. And so it's like, I mean, our old and our sick and our young and our disabled, we just say, fuck them. Like, right. Go fuck yourself. Sorry. Hope you have a rich family.
So on top of cutting all that Medicaid stuff. The bill. Here's some other things the bill does.
Okay.
It would bring back lifetime limits, which is basically a practice where insurers cap how much they would pay for an individual's medical bill over their lifetime.
Okay.
So let's say they'll be like, oh, okay, we'll give you stuff until you're 65. Uh-huh. And then you're 65, and then all of a sudden you're, like, diagnosed with cancer. They're like, sorry.
Sorry, you ran out. Mm-hmm. Like, you ran out of points. And then what do?
I don't know. Why would... You, like, die.
Who thinks that's a good idea?
Nobody.
It's not like... I just don't understand. It's like I'm just sitting around being like, ooh, just taking advantage of my Medicaid. A cough, cough here. Glad I'm getting sick. Like, it's just like, I need some safety precaution, like, in case something happens.
Exactly.
I need some help.
Obamacare, based to counteract that, they had people with serious chronic illnesses would bump up against the cap and find themselves out in the cold, which is why, before Obamacare, that's what would happen. So when Obamacare came in, they got rid of it. They got rid of that practice. They said that you can't do lifetime limits anymore. And it says there's this one kid, Timmy Morrison, a six-year-old who owes his life. So Timmy went to Congress to lobby against this appeal because he would have died if they had this lifetime limit or
and
something.
And how old is this kid?
They said he was six.
And Congress was just like, fuck you, Timmy. Like, when did Congress literally become Scrooge from, like, A Christmas Carol? And wait, what's the kid's name?
Timmy Morrison.
Tiny Tim. I know. This is literally A Christmas Carol. I hope some ghosts go up to all these Congress people's houses.
Here's a side story that I know about. So the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, who is like...
Fuck that guy.
Evil incarnate.
Yes.
He almost died from, I want to say polio when he was a little kid. Mm-hmm. And the only way that he was able to survive it was from government helping.
Interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
And now he wants to get rid of that.
And then, of course, when you said the polio thing, of course, a few episodes we talked about Henrietta Lacks.
Right.
And they're able to find the cure for polio. Because of her. Yeah. Okay. So it's just, look how connected everything is.
Okay. So the Senate bill would also eliminate Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood.
Well, they've been eyeing that from day one.
I know. They are ready for that. An analysis from Harvard Health Economist and Center for American Progress and Harvard Health found that the Senate bill would cause tens of thousands of deaths.
Naturally,
so it's like, oh, God. So let's see. So basically, that's what I wanted to point out. Because a lot of times we hear all these, like, and especially with, like, the news cycle, you hear about this secret bill and how it's getting delayed and how it might not pass, and people will just say, oh, all these people are going to get fucked up. I just wanted to give some cold, hard facts on what will literally happen.
Yeah.
So just to reiterate, billions of dollars will be taken away from Medicare. Planned Parenthood will be taken away from Medicare. Adults with disabilities, birth of children, and children with disabilities will be the first to suffer from this fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And majority of the states that benefit from Medicare are red states.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you're stumping yourself.
Yeah.
So
it's not even, this isn't really a blue state, red state issue.
No, this is
a human. Also remember, I mean, they are people who are in power who are using your votes.
Mm-hmm.
They're using your fear on things, and they're creating things like Medicare and even like prison reform. It's not really like it shouldn't be a bipartisan issue. It's a life and death sort of issue for many folks, you know, and they're using you.
Yes.
And so for them to be able to carve out more power to be able to, you know, think about who benefits the most from all of this. It's you know, rich people.
Right.
And also, like, you know, I'm sure medical corporations.
Oh,
and the pharmaceutical industry.
Completely.
And so these people are probably have a lot at stake here, or funding these people's campaigns, or saying, hey.
Oh, yeah, lobbyists.
Lobbyists, change this. I'm going to make sure you stay in power. So 2018 election is cooking up.
Let's
Get them all out of office.
Right.
Like, vote them out. Like, anybody who voted for this, like, they should not.
Get them out.
They shouldn't win their next election.
2018 is to flip the House and the Senate. So, what can you do?
Oh, yeah, what can you do?
Because I just gave some depressing facts.
Yeah, I was like, all right, is that it?
Goodbye.
See you next week.
No. Okay, so what you can do last minute, because it feels like it's right at the end of the clock hour.
Yeah.
Call your senators. If you have a Republican senator, call them.
Mm-hmm.
Call them. After you call your senator, tweet them.
Mm.
Flood their shit.
Don't you love it because of our new fucking POTUS? It's like the best way to reach your political person is send them a tweet.
Twitter.
160 characters.
It's so annoying.
Send them a meme.
So there is a group called Invisible Stop Trump Care. They have a call script. So you can just read that if you don't want to stumble over your own words. Because sometimes I know that it can be like super stressful if you're not into that.
Yeah.
If you are from a target state.
Like Target.
No.
Oh, no? Because I was like, I think we're all part of a target state.
So some of the target states are West Virginia, Louisiana, Maine, it looks like, Ohio, Nevada, Alaska, Colorado. Basically, if you have like a Republican staffer, a Republican in office, you should give them a call. Make sure that you are trumpeting about this new healthcare thing.
Yeah.
If you are represented by Democrats, that's me and you, New York, California.
What can we do? What do we do? We don't get to sit on the sidelines?
We need to tell our representatives to get more aggressive.
Get, like, what would Maxine Waters do?
Exactly. Like, take a page off of Maxine Waters. Take a page off of Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris.
Who's, I think she's making a bid for 2020. I'm on the email list.
I want her to, but I feel like we need to... I kind of
want to keep
almost,
her in the Senate so she can
No. I feel like I'm a little too fragile for someone who's like a person of color or a woman to go in there. I feel like we need like a Tim Kaine just to reset.
Just so the racists don't have any ammo. Full-blown Kamala Harris. You know what? May the best qualified person go in.
Perfect. Yeah, it's true. If it's her, that's my own sensitivity.
I feel you.
Just
try to protect your baby girl.
I know.
Home girl.
Okay, so we need to, if you have someone in the Senate who is a Democrat that is not doing shit, it is time to tell them to do some shit.
It is time.
Tell them to get aggressive. Tell them to be like, do some shit. And then also, get your friends to do it.
Yeah, get your friends in it. Mm-hmm. Get your friends involved.
I know that a lot of people have been having gatherings where they sit together and they call and they do things
make a
cocktail.
Y'all love the wines, so make it a party.
And last but not least, from me to you, go to the doctor now.
Oh, yeah. Get into it now.
Go to the doctor. If you are not covered by healthcare from a job, then you need to go to the doctor. Yeah. Just get your shit in order. Cover your ass. CYA, as I always say.
Right.
Protect yourself because you never know when this shit's going to be taken away.
And it might wreck you.
Exactly. If you are a woman and you do not want to have babies in the next 5 years, go get an IUD.
Yeah.
If you get all yourself tested, get all your medicines as you can.
Right, do it now.
Be prepared.
Be, as Scar used to say, be prepared.
Yes.
From The Lion King.
Yes.
So just listen to that song. It'll coach you through of like what to do next. But you're absolutely right. Like even my healthcare that I have, cheap, affordable healthcare. Mm-hmm. And it's in jeopardy. And I just got insurance.
I know.
I just started going to the doctor.
You went to that fancy doctor in San Francisco a couple years ago.
It was 3 years ago. And then I finally got hooked up to Stride Healthcare. Very easy to sign up. Mm-hmm. And they hooked me up with some affordable. Because I'm on the artist lifestyle budget. So that's in jeopardy. So thank you so much for informing us about all of this.
It's important because this is our health. This is what essentially is life or death. I'll always remember when I worked at the public library, there was a security guard who died of a brain tumor because she couldn't go to the doctor because she didn't have health insurance.
Should never happen.
It should never happen. Literally, so many other countries in the world have universal health care. What the fuck is our problem?
Well, it's the same thing that you shouldn't have to have insurance for things that are life and death. Like, if my house is on fire, I don't have to think, like, oh, I don't have fire insurance. I guess it's just got to burn down. Like, life and death services should be allowed.
Hello.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Well, thank you, Nurse Aneke.
You're welcome.
With our little news here. Aneke Nurse News Hour.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Get checked out. Today, these things may cause cancer. Wait, no.
No! These prevent
things,
it!
These things may prevent cancer. Yeah. A lot of fast words happening here at once.
Following the news is hard and it sucks.
How do you know which stories are important?
Which sources do you trust in this post-truth world of reactionary journalism?
I'm Brett Black.
And I'm Travis McElroy.
And we host a podcast called Trends Like These.
We cover trending news stories.
We debunk misleading clickbait headlines.
And we always try to throw in a little bit of good news.
In our quest for truth!
So join us every week on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
Wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up.
Wrap it up. rapidly. Oh, I don't know. What a great, you know, action-packed episode. And you got all kinds of things. We just threw all the information out
there. We did.
If you didn't know, now you know.
Yes.
That's all it.
It's so true.
One last, you know, I want to circle back a pin of something that we talked about a long time ago, that new movie called Beguiled.
Yes. Can we talk about this trash monster baggage crap?
We did already talk about it.
I know, but I always enjoy talking about it.
Okay. So that movie Beguiled, which is...
Sofia Coppola... romanticizing the Civil War.
Yes. And she, there's like one black character who was like the slave, who was like, I think, a slave.
There's actually, I read up on it. So when we did the thing, there in the movie, the Clint Eastwood movie, there was one black character. But in the book that this whole shebang was based off of, two black characters.
So they took out, so Clint Eastwood was like one less. Mm-hmm. And then Sofia Coppola was like, well, I'm going to do what Clint did. One less.
Exactly.
And now zero.
And the one black character, she casted Kirsten Dunst as that character.
No way. Mm-hmm. So it was like such like a choice.
I know.
Fascinating. I was just thinking about this and I thought it would have been a more interesting movie. If you're going to retell this story, do it from a more different or interesting perspective. And it seems like you could have done that same story, but done it from the black slave's perspective.
So yeah.
You could have had that same story, but like put like a fucking, I don't know, like who... put Viola Davis in the lead
that,
or something and do it from her perspective.
That's why the book was so interesting, because one, they had the black slave and they gave her perspective in it. And then the Kirsten Dunst character was a black woman who was passing as a white woman.
Oh.
So you get multiple perspectives of being black during Civil War times.
So you literally could have had a way more... your movie then becomes that much more interesting and that much more full about the time period that you're in.
Right?
So...
it's a disservice to everyone.
Well, my decision still stands. Fuck you, Sofia Coppola. Coppola? She's a corpus to me. So
she's a Coppola, she's rich, and she sucks.
Well, that's good to know. And then Jay-Z's 444 album?
You know what? He should have named it Lemons.
Why?
Because Beyonce made lemonade out of it.
Ooh.
I don't... burn. And that's a joke that's been going around, though.
Well, I give you credit, because the first time I've ever heard it, it's made me chuckle, and it's made me think.
Okay, thanks.
The only thing, so there's little pinpoints that I've known about his album. First, I've been seeing 444.
Yeah, 444.
All over.
I was like, what the fuck is this?
I was like, what time is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's not even 445, but it's 444.
Which is like a budget time. Nobody cares about 444.
Yeah, if I'm like a NECA, can you meet me at 444?
I'd be like, fuck no.
You wouldn't even meet me at 445. You would either round down or round up. Because you're like, this is a weird time to be meeting
either
someone.
Either 5 or 430. Pick one.
What I do like from what I heard about his album, I haven't heard it, I haven't listened to it. His mom has a coming out song on there.
Yes.
That's nice. Yeah.
But then he goes ahead and uses Kim Burrell, who's like a gospel singer, who's been on record talking
the
like...
homophobic.
Yes.
Things. Yeah, because I talked about her a few weeks ago too.
Yes. So like he has this beautiful song about his mom coming out, and then the next song he has homophobic lady on there.
So a swing and a miss.
Yeah.
He got to first base using a sports analogy to keep up on it.
Sportsman.
A sportsman. I go to sports sometimes. I see them. I see them do it. So a swing and a miss on that. Are there any other... and doesn't he do a... isn't there... there's a music video. Maybe I just... I read a headline. I read a headline. And it said that something about like Jay-Z commenting on the O.J. Simpson trial.
He has a song called The Ballad of O.J. or The Story of O.J.
Mm.
And it's actually pretty interesting.
Is there a video that goes with this? There's like
yes, it's a cartoon video that uses like minstrel kind of cartoon stereotypes like Sambo and shit.
Yeah.
I am of two minds. I always feel like, well, okay, he does a good job of demonstrating what I feel like black artists and successful black people have to go through.
Yeah.
And there is a new video where he has a bunch of famous black people
That's
talking
the one
about
that I saw.
It.
Yeah.
But is it only black men?
I think it's only black men.
That's interesting.
So do you think it'd be more interesting? But I feel like, I don't know, I kind of see why he only chose black men.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of get their perspective of how it shaped their lives and the,
I like
and the importance of it.
But coming from him who mistreated a black woman so vilely, I feel like he should be including black women in it.
Oh, I see. Once again, I'm sorry. Even my brain was just like, of course, black men. How was it affecting them? I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's why we talk about this
stuff.
That's
why we had these little get-togethers. Yeah, I should have had some black women on there. So are Safe we space. Excited about the Jay-Z album? I'm kind of indifferent.
I'm
but
excited because he's, I like that he was honest. I like that he has a song where
he
facts.
Talks about that he cheated on Beyonce.
Yeah.
Does he say like, it was Becky with the good
he
hair?
He says something about like, Becky, leave me alone or something like wow. that. He literally Tim. Does that. He even says something about the elevator incident where he was like, Solange beat my ass when I knew I should have said like, sorry or something like
wow.
that. So granted, yes.
Who is Becky woman? I bet her Twitter went all ablaze again.
You know who she
the
is?
The Beehive was like
She's
Rachel
one,
Ray.
Yeah.
But not the cook.
But apparently he's just been cheating on Beyonce all this time.
With other Rachel
with
Ray.
Other people having threesomes and shit.
Well, she has the twins.
Yes.
Oh, I saw the best thing on PoorMichelle.com.
Oh no, what is this?
You know I love a good PoorMichelle.com.
Yeah.
It was like, once again, Beyonce has to carry two people.
Ooh.
It's
God,
funny because
it's
true.
I know. I mean, I was excited about the whole Jay-Z thing, but then the more I read into it, the more I like looked at the story, the more I kind of got mad at him.
Yeah.
That they've been together since she was literally 18.
She was, yeah.
And he was 30.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's in her 30s and he's in his late 40s. Mm. And now he's apologizing.
And she's the one that's carrying him because I'm not, you know what is the hardest thing in the world to cancel?
Mm.
You thought it was your Comcast. You thought it was your gym membership.
Mm-hmm.
A Tidal subscription.
I'm not even going.
I got sucked into that thing.
Did
it
you
took
really?
Me 3-4 months because I was trying to get Lemonade again. And I had to get the subscription and then I tried to cancel it. It took me like 4 months.
Oh, God. Tidal is the
money.
Worst. Snoop Dogg was even on recently where he was like, I want to listen to that Jay-Z album, but I'm not fucking with Tidal.
See?
So we got his friend to bootleg it.
See? And Snoop Dogg's got the money.
I know.
So even if Snoop Dogg doesn't want to get it,
your subscription is bootsy as hell.
Oh, well. All right, well, 4-4 is out. I don't know why we're plugging it.
I know. Like, 444, listen to it today.
444, it's out. Go, it's
we're
in
not getting it,
now.
Not a dime.
That's our new show called Minority Corner. We're not getting
a
not
dime.
A dime. Well, Nekka, it's been such a great episode with you.
It was fun.
Oh, dear, White People got approved for season 2.
Yes.
Winning.
So excited.
Yes.
So excited.
Check it out. It's been very fun talking to people about it, especially like folks who are not Black and how it relates and connects to them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever talked to anybody who wasn't Black about the show.
Yeah. Well, I highly recommend. It's a lovely conversation. Or even just for like Latinos or, you know, other POCs of like the relatability of like, you know, they're being able to connect with it
right.
on different levels. And then some levels, this is educational. Same way, like when I watch Fresh of the Boat, there's some things I'm just like, I totally connect with that.
Completely.
And then there's some things like, oh, that's interesting. I'm learning.
Because it's a sense of otherness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Well,
see you next week.
But wait.
Oh. I'm always
tweet.
You can tweet at us.
Minority Corner with a K.
There it is.
Facebook, Minority Corner page, and then also Corner Kids page.
Yes.
Corner Kids Playground, look for that.
It's all there.
What else? Oh, if you got an Ask Minority Corner anything voice memo, email it to minoritycorner@gmail.com. Corner with a K.
Corner with a K. Because corner with a C, I don't know you.
We don't know.
I don't know you. Mariah Carey to my J-Lo.
Don't know you.
See you next week.
Bye.
All right, Yeti, you doing your thing?
Are we really testing right now?
Are we? Is this a real test?
Mike, are you working?
Hello?
You best be working.
Hello,
now.
Hello, Mike. Shit, we're paying all this money for you.
I know.
We were rooting for you.
How dare you?
We're all rooting for you, microphone!
Mugs, shirts, stickers, patches, tanks, and more are yours for the purchasing at MaxFunStore.com. Hey, you already love the podcasts, so why not take this to the next level and outfit your home and bod with our merch? MaxFunStore.com. Because if you have to wear a shirt, it should be one of ours.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.